Hey, 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 listeners, Irenia here. I am in conversation with the fabulous Julie DeLuca Collings. She's located in the US. For today's episode, you are simply going to enjoy it because we go through her career journey, her big pivots. We zoom in on the importance of negotiating your salary. We have some discussion around, you know, whether you're contemplating moving into corporate or starting your own business. What are some of the key considerations you need to pay attention to? And then we also discuss some strategies for when you are in business. And as well, we deep dive into her life to learn about what she does to put a pep in her step and a pride in her stride. You are simply going to love this discussion with Julie. And if you do, please share it with a friend. Without any further ado, let's deep dive into getting to know Julie. Welcome, superstars. You're listening to At Live with Irenia. Thanks for tuning into this dial. I'm your host, Irenia Rusal. I'm very excited to bring you this week's episode. Today, I'm in conversation with Julie DeLuca Collings, all the way from Hartford, Connecticut. Welcome, Julie.
Hi, Irenia. Thank you so much for having me. It is so fun to be in your podcast today.
Oh, my goodness. I am so excited to have you because I know that you are going to share so much great wisdom to our listeners. And it's such a pleasure, you know. To you, my listeners, welcome. And to those of you just joining, stay tuned to this dial because we are going to give you some fantastic content today as it relates to improving organization culture, talking about contract negotiation, and much more. But first, let me give you a little bit of background about Julie. Julie DeLuca Collings is the founder and CEO of Go Confidently Coaching. She is also a fellow podcaster, the host of Casa de Confidence. Julie began her career as a pre-K teacher and later worked with middle school students. Over the past 20 years, she has worked as a senior executive in the education industry field. Most recently, she completed her tenure as chief innovation officer for an academic solutions company based in New York City. Over the course of her career, she has acquired significant expertise in policymaking to developing and running business operations. Over to you, Julie.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Irenia. It is such a pleasure to be here and be able to share some of my experiences and background with your listeners. I think that I definitely, when I look back through my career, when you mentioned that I started as a pre-K teacher and then I worked with middle schools, it feels like a million years ago because there's so many other things that have happened in between. But in retrospect, I think that that really prepared me because when you're dealing with littles and even middle school, which tends to be a challenging age, you learn some negotiation skills that you can take into the boardroom.
That is fantastic, you know. So give us a little bit about, you know, your personal history and how you came to be the person that you are today in terms of what you're doing with your business.
Absolutely. So the road has been just right for me. I think that all the experiences from growing up, I actually was born in El Salvador. My mom is from El Salvador and my dad, he is a New Yorker. He was born in New York, grew up and ended up in meeting my mom. And they moved to El Salvador because my mom had her family there and my dad wanted to always see the world, right? And this was different from being in the States. Yeah. And he had just completed, so he completed a tour with the Air Force. My dad was a very specific, goal-oriented, but very meticulous person from that military background. And my mom grew up in an environment in which she came from a very affluent family, very different from my dad's, where my dad grew up in the projects in New York City and Manhattan at the time. The area where he lived was really the projects, and he had to work from an early age, and he left New York City to pursue a career, and he felt the military would provide him that, and then he came back to New York City and got his college degree. But my mom, on the other hand, growing up in a household where you had a driver, a cook, a cleaning person that lived in the home, right? And then she was sent to Georgetown University. From Georgetown, she studied in Barcelona, and then she came back to El Salvador, where she eventually married my dad. They definitely had different upbringings, so that was really influential on my life. I think that for me, I grew up with a sense of the different cultures that are part of part of the world, right? And yes, being sensitive to the different cultures. Because I grew up in a household, you know, in El Salvador, where it's a third world country. However, I grew up with some privileges that a lot of people didn't have. I understood that definitely I needed to try to take a look at my world and understand how everything sort of interconnected, and that education was very important. But I also grew up understanding that you needed to be able to have a give and take. Later on, I went to high school in Miami. I went to college in DC. My dad, my parents separated at this point, but I spent the majority of the time knowing that I wanted to give back, and I wanted to be able to work for an organization that made a difference. And education was my first love, and it still is, because I grew up with a grandmother who was an educator, who owned a very prestigious private school in the country, in El Salvador. So I knew that education was in my blood. However, as I continued to go through the motions and first teach preschool and then worked with middle school students, I realized that I wanted more for my life, and I wanted to continue to grow. And I wasn't sure how that was going to happen. And eventually, when I was living in New York City, in my late 20s, early 30s, I was recruited by an organization that sort of mixed some of my interests, my education background, and it also helped teach me some of the business background. There in the education industry, they did a lot of tutoring. And one of the things that I loved about the culture of this organization is that they really invest in their employees, and they took time to really coach and mentor and grow from within. It's a company that at the time had been around for almost 30 years. I mean, now it's been over 40 years that they've been around, but they really have invested and continue to invest into the environment in which they provide the training, the coaching, the mentoring. And I grew through that company. I had some amazing mentors. Both the founders of that organization really helped me to grow and become the person that I became. I started in contract negotiation because I was working at the time. I was promoted to work with the VP of business development. And yes, that was someone who really instilled in me the skills I think that it takes to be able to go through a contract and be able to understand what you're trying to accomplish for your organization, while at the same time understanding where the other person is coming from. And again, having a father that really taught me a lot of my business skills as well, and influenced me in that sense, really helped me to hone in and become the person that I am now.
That is absolutely an amazing story, Julie. And I really like, you know, one of the things that you said there, you know, you wanted to work with an organization that made a difference, mm-hmm. right? Because you want impact. You want to impact the community, the people that you work with. And I love that, you know, when you started with a new company, that you worked in contract negotiation. Because right now in current times, we have many people, you know, who have been followed, you know, graduates who are graduating, who are looking for work. They had a pretty rosy picture in January. And now we are in, you know, in May, and the picture is very much a different outlook for them. So what advice would you have for those who are looking for work and graduates as it relates to contract negotiation, you know, when they get that job offer?
Absolutely. This is so key, and it's really right up my alley. I am definitely working with a lot of women specifically because throughout my career, I have always been asked, wow, you grew through the ranks, and how did you stand up for yourself? How did you negotiate that salary? How did you negotiate the promotion? I think that for me, one of the things that I needed to realize, and this came from my dad as well, is I knew my value. And I also knew that I needed to be able to advocate, because if you don't advocate for yourself, who's going to do it, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people, especially if you're starting out, you don't have that headhunter advocating or that recruiter pushing the company to actually pay you more. You really have to really be able to get a sense of who you are. One of the things that I encourage, especially young people, I work at as a volunteer in a mentoring program at the community colleges here in the Connecticut area. One of the things that I tell the ladies is that you need to create a personal brand for who you are. Because as you're entering an organization, as you're entering a new community or culture of a business, right? Mm-hmm. You are going to be a part of that business. So you are bringing value to them, not only with your skills and the job that you're going to be performing, but who you are and who you're going to be representing them. So create a personal brand for yourself, something that's very strong. Everyone should be able to have a little elevator pitch about who they are. So if you meet me in an elevator and you said, hey, Julie, what do you do? I'm able to tell you, I am a career coach. I'm a leader. I am a podcaster. I am someone who is able to work with you and also be able to give back to the community. Those are some of my core values. And I think that as you become more well-versed in who you are, your strengths, weaknesses, and also what your core values are, you can present yourself in a very strong way. When you present yourself in a strong way, then you are able to come back to an employer and say, this is the value that I bring. Because ultimately, I have hired many people in my career. But Irina, I will tell you that I would rather have the person who maybe doesn't have 100% of the skills that I need for a position, but someone that has the personality, the character, the growth, the work ethic. Yeah. To be in that position, and I will train them, than someone who already may have 100% of the boxes checked off, but maybe doesn't have the character, maybe doesn't have the values that my company has, maybe doesn't have the big picture, right? Or is not willing to be a part of the team. So these things are very important, and evaluate for yourself, what is it that you can do, and if there are areas that, you know, and as women, we tend to be very hard on ourselves. We're going to first come up with all the things that are wrong, but start to really find out what are the things that you can do well. And for these new graduates starting to go into the world, be aware of where you're coming from, what you're bringing to the table to somebody else. And then this way will help to start the conversation.
Wow. This is a mic drop. There's so much golden nuggets in there, you know. Oh my goodness, listeners, you definitely need to bookmark this question, okay? Because knowing who you are, knowing what things you can do really well, knowing your core values, as Julie mentioned, will help you to present yourself well to your employer, your future employer. And, you know, you also talked about, you know, developing one's personal brand because you're bringing yourself into that business culture, you know. And let's talk about organizational culture and how important this is, you know, in terms of fitting in, right? Because employers like to hire people who they evaluate can fit into the organization and the teams.
Yeah, so organizational culture is so important. I will tell you that the organization that I was with for about 10 years that helped me to grow and really develop me and mentor me to become a senior executive, because I went from just someone that ran an individual a satellite office for them to someone who is part of their executive team and sat in their executive offices and negotiated contracts on their behalf. But one of the things that I really loved about the organization is that every single person, whether you were in the boardroom or in the classroom or in whatever, you know, in the mailroom, right? Yes. You knew the values and you know the mission of the organization. And it is so important, like you said, organizations are looking for people who are going to be a good fit. And prior to you looking for a job or starting to understand where, you know, many people think, what do you want to do when you grow up? Is not so much what you want to do. Anybody can, we can do the same role in multiple different organizations, right?
Yes.
However, it's who you are that it's really going to count. Who do you want to be? Do you want to bring someone who brings enthusiasm into the table? Do you want to be someone who motivates others? Do you want to be someone who supports the team from the background? Find out what these things are and really be able to then look at the different organizations that you're looking to work for or you're looking to enter into and be a part of and understand what some of their values, understand some of what their goals, what where did they start, right? Do we ever, and I think that a lot of people will look for a job, look for an organization. Oh, this sounds good. I meet some of the criteria. Let me send my resume or my CV out to them, right? Yeah. And then we go to an interview and we talk to someone, but we haven't really had the opportunity to find out, how did this company start? Who founded it? What were the goals of this person? Because every company has one person, an entrepreneur, that at one point said, hey, it's a good idea to make cookies. Hey, it's a good idea for me to sell my wares here. So there was some reasoning behind that, whether or not we see the big picture of where they are now, they had a beginning, and it's important to understand how we're going to fit into that puzzle.
I love it. A second mic drop right there. You know, pulling out of that, you know, listeners, you got to do your deep research. Know the person behind the company. Thank you so much for that, Julie. That is so awesome. You're welcome. You know, what is your superpower?
My superpower. I think my superpower is a little bit that you and I had this conversation. I am a connector and a big picture thinker. I love relationships. I love meeting people. I love connecting. Once I know you and have connected with you and I know who you are and what your personality, your mission, your personal brand is, and whether it be personally or for your career, right? Mm-hmm. I tend to then file you back into my index card in my brain. And let's say I meet somebody else and we're talking and they'll say, you know, I would love to meet someone who does business strategy in Canada. And I'm like, oh, I know the person. You guys should connect. This will be a great relationship. And I immediately can connect you because that's my brain at work. The other thing is I'm able to really, for instance, I work with a lot of small business owners and women who are looking to build themselves professionally or even personally and build their confidence. And I am able to look from the outside and really help to create a strategy that sometimes either you're not able to view or you're not able to create for yourself as a business owner or as an individual person going after your goals, specifically because sometimes we're too stuck, right? In right in the middle of the minutia. So I'm able to come up from the inside and look at a lot of different options. And I think that as a coach, and this is a little bit of what I'm doing now with Go Confidently Coaching, is that my goal is to really be able to provide women and the people that I'm working with the skills and the tools that are going to help them be confident to go after their dreams and not feel like they are lacking something or they don't have the direction. Because I think that not only do you need to figure out what your goals are going to be, you need to figure out the direction. And that's one of my superpowers, and I'm able to create that strategy, not only in business, but for people personally as well.
That is absolutely awesome. And I believe that you also have a free offer for our listeners that they can really start working on that.
Yeah, so I am so excited about this because this has definitely been a passion project for me. It's something that I have worked with for many, many, many years, and it has actually come to fruition. I had two, in addition to my dad, the other two very influential people in my life were my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And they were both, as I mentioned, educators, but they were also business owners, right? My grandmother was in a world where it wasn't in vogue for a woman in the 1940s and 50s to be running her business. She did, and she was highly educated, and she traveled all over the world. And my grandfather, in the same way, he came from very meager beginnings, put himself through school very similarly to how my dad did, and then became a professor at the university, and then he taught, and then he also he worked at a big business as their CPA. And in that sense, I learned so many different lessons from both of them that throughout my life have carried me. So I put together actually 12 wise lessons in confidence, because both of them had to be confident in order to really go after their dreams and achieve them when some of the things were stacked against them. So these are lessons that I have used throughout my life that I fall back on, and I interweave a couple of the lessons too that are overlapping from the things that I learned from my dad. And I put together an ebook that I take some of my clients through, and this is going to be free for your listeners. And I'm also including a workbook with that. And in addition to that, if there's anybody who really says, oh, this is a great ebook, I read it, I love it, and I worked through some of the questions on the workbook, but I want some more, I would be happy to also offer some of your listeners with a free one-to-one coaching call. And I would give them a 1-hour coaching call as well, so that they can really define, you know, what are some of the things that maybe they are already doing that they're confident in, and what are some of the areas that maybe they need to learn to really be able to build up some of the skills that it will take to build that confidence. And from there, take the leap, right? And create a strategy for their life and wherever they want to go, whether it be negotiating a better salary, negotiating their next job or career change, or even if you're a business owner and you're looking to, hey, I am looking to grow from 5 customers to 10. And this is my big audacious goal. So I want to be able to help anyone create that and go after it. So that 1-hour session is also very complimentary to going through the ebook and doing the workbook.
This is absolutely fantastic, Julie. I am so happy that you're offering, you know, your ebook and the workbook plus a 1-hour coaching call. I believe you listeners, you're quite fortunate. So you definitely want to check out the show notes and connect to get a copy of the ebook and the workbook. And yeah. Fantastic. I love these stories of building and growing and becoming. You have such a rich experience, Julie.
Well, thank you. I mean, as we all do, we just need to take the chance to be able to see it and acknowledge it.
Absolutely. So when we're, you know, talking to, you know, young women, because this is the clientele that you face right now, and they're looking to get into corporate, or they're looking to start their own business, because the current times is, you know, with less jobs, some people may not be able to get that job that they want in corporate, and they have to create their own business. What advice would you have for that individual, you know, when they're trying to decide, you know, should I hold off and wait for that corporate job, or should I take the leap and start my business?
This is such a, this is such a great question, because I think that many times in our lives, we are going to really encounter and be in a position in which we really start to evaluate what's right for us. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no right time for anything. And sometimes we tend to think, you know, I need to have all the stars aligned to move forward. you need to just take a leap, whether it be putting yourself out there. And I think that if you're choosing to go after a job, really evaluate, what are you looking for? Are you looking for long-term growth? Are you looking to be part of a team? Are you looking to really be able to do the things that are going to take to be part of an organization, or be patient to have an organization actually have an opening, right? Are you in a position to do that? The other thing that I see with a lot of entrepreneurs is that in the moment, as an entrepreneur, and again, most of us, and I think that for myself, I've done several different endeavors throughout my life, and some have been more successful than others. But as an entrepreneur, it is important to understand that we see somebody else's ending as an entrepreneur, and we see how successful they are. We see how, what they are doing, what they reach, what they're earning, what they're driving, so many different things. But what we're not seeing is their beginning. And what we're not seeing is the middle. What we're not seeing are the challenges. So I think that whatever step you decide to take, you really need to really be able to evaluate and say, what does it take for me to be a successful entrepreneur? It's going to take for me to have the right tools. It's going to take for me to be able to maybe go without earning a steady paycheck for X amount of time. It's going to take for me to understand all facets, whether it be marketing, financials, whether it be partnerships, writing a grant or a contract. All of these things are going to things that you are going to need to understand that you have to have some competencies and here's the thing. If you know that you want to pursue this and you're really passionate and you have a business idea, don't let all these things scare you away, because you can learn them. You just need to know that when it's hard, it doesn't mean that you're not going to get to your goal. It just means that you keep trying, right? And you keep pushing yourself forward. And I think that for entrepreneurs, it's important to know that there's a beginning, a middle, and the end. And we always think that, oh, it's not happening, because we never took into account that there's that middle. So if you're looking to do that, and find the resources. There's so many amazing women and other men who have businesses who can support you. You can work together. You can barter for services. If you're great at marketing but not great at financials, understand the financials for your business as an entrepreneur, right? And find someone that can help you. And maybe you do the marketing for them and you can work together. So you're not necessarily spending all your money, but you're really building on your dream. Understand that the dreams are achievable. You just need to know what needs to get there, because you're going to walk into a corporation if you decide to go in that direction and take a job. That's awesome. But you're not going to walk in and being hired as maybe a coordinator of a program or a department to all of a sudden be sitting in the boardroom. You got to do some of the grunt work. You got to do some of the pay your dues. And because it's not so much about paying the dues, but it's about gaining the experience and the lessons that prepare you for when you're sitting in the boardroom.
Wow. Another mic drop, Julie. Oh my goodness. You've got so much wisdom here. I love what you said. You know, everybody starts somewhere, because in the age of where we are, we see all of these advertisements, you know, oh, get to your $2 million business or get to your seven-figure business. But really, it's, as you said, there's a beginning, there's a middle, and an end. People start at different places, and you got to work hard to get there. You know, keep trying, keep pushing yourself forward. Love that. Love it.
Yeah, definitely.
You are such an inspiration.
Thank you. As are you. You are doing some amazing work by really being able to bring this information to your listeners. And I think that this is what creates these opportunities for people to do better, right? Because they know better from the information that you and myself and other people out there podcasting are putting out.
That is awesome. Awesome, awesome. So now let's get to a little bit on the personal side, because, you know, we all have to, you know, start off our day with a really good mindset, right? Mm. So how do you start your mornings? Do you have any morning rituals, you know, to set the tone for your day, to put a pep in your step, to put a pride in your stride?
I like it. Yes. So morning rituals are important. And I will tell you that for many years, I, even though I was successful at my job and I kept, you know, having some success, I was terrible at morning routines for many years. I used to wait to the last minute, snooze my clock, and then rush like a bat out of you know where to get to work and all in disarray. And I used to then go in this like hamster wheel, right? Running around, and then 9, 10, 11, midnight will come up and I would go to bed exhausted and start all over again. And now I've always been someone who journaled. And I would journal at night. Mm-hmm. And I started to see that my journaling was really suffering because I was doing it at night and I was so tired and I would fall asleep and not get to it, or I would not prioritize it. I realized that I needed to incorporate some of these habits in the morning. So I very slowly, I stopped setting an alarm. Why? Because the alarm just jars you awake and I need to be lulled into, you know, consciousness. Yes. So I started to really be able to, one, identify that I needed to get enough sleep. I don't think that as women and some men, I think also, don't realize the importance of getting enough sleep. 4 hours is not the right time. And if you're sitting in front of the television and you're just kind of mindlessly watching something, your mind would rather be resting and recharging. So my morning routine really consists of, I will tell you, I do get up with an alarm, without an alarm. I typically, my eyes start to open around 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And I sort of lay there. And the first thing that I do is I actually do a 1 to 2 minute meditation as I sit in bed. And it's very easy to do that. It's actually a body scan. I start to go through my body. Okay, my big toes, they're there. Great. Let me move up to my feet, my ankles. And as I'm thinking of all of my different body parts as I move up, I'm also being very grateful for every single piece of my body that works, right? Because as we get older, some things start to go a little bit. So we have to be very grateful for that. After I do my little meditation, I get up. And last year, I actually was certified as a yoga teacher. So I get up and I go to the restroom and I drink my water first and foremost to get my body moving. I drink at least 20 ounces of water. And then I do a yoga stretch. I do some stretches and depending on what the mood may be, maybe sometimes 2 minutes, sometimes 5. And then I jump into my gratitude journal. I start my gratitude journal. I sit through and I write the things that I'm grateful for. And I try to find things throughout the day, the previous day, that really brought me joy, or that really helped me to really reconnect with the wonderful things that life is. And sometimes we're so busy looking for, oh, we're so grateful for that great meal we had, but maybe we were just grateful that someone opened the door as we were getting into a restaurant. And it's been so long since I've been to a restaurant, but that's the thought that came to mind. After my gratitude journal, then I do my food journal. And this is something because I've been in a quest for healthy eating, healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I've lost about 40 pounds, I would say, in the last two and a half, 18 months. And I have a coach that I work with. And one of the things, the four basics that she has taught me is to plan my food, number one. And two, track my food. So I typically do a food plan for the week. And then in the morning, I write down what I'm going to eat for the day. And sometimes I'm 100% and I eat everything on there. And sometimes I just blow past that plan, but I write it and I get into the routine of knowing so that I'm more intentional. The other thing too, is that it takes away that decision fatigue. If I already know that my breakfast is going to be my protein shake for the morning, I'm going to have a salad with protein at lunch, and for dinner, I'm going to have leftovers, then I'm not sitting in front of the refrigerator wondering like, oh, what am I going to eat? And then your brain gets tired. So that really sets me up for success. I also go back and I analyze, did I eat what I said I was going to eat in my journal? Yes. I also track whether or not I've been drinking my water. I try to drink at least half my body weight in ounces of water. So I have a big bottle that's 64 ounces. I shoot for at least one of those, if not more. And I really track that because I think that I still have a lot of goals personally for my goal in my weight and in my fitness that I want to get to. And it's important for me to be able to also track how am I coming along toward those personal goals. And last but not least, I go through my calendar. and I sit through and I see what my appointments are for the day. So then I do keep a calendar on my phone, but I transcribe that into an actual paper calendar. And people may think that I'm crazy and this may be a waste of time, but it's not. It takes me 5 minutes. But for me, because I'm a visual learner, actually writing it out helps me to remember what's coming up in my day. And then I map out some of the other things that I need to get accomplished throughout the day. So if I know that, you know, for instance, you and I had an appointment today, I knew that I had a client before that, and I knew that I needed to be prepped for that. And then after I finish with you, I have another conversation that I'm having in the afternoon, so I need to prep for that. And I map that out in my calendar for the day so that the day is not happening to me, but I am happening to the day. I am working through my day and being in control as opposed to the way around.
Wow. Amazing.
It sounds like a lot, but it really is not. I don't want and I will tell you, listeners, it is not about being perfect. And sometimes I'm not motivated to do it, but it's a habit. And I've created the habit that really helps to support me and my goals and where I want to go. And I'm not perfect. I mean, sometimes I just sit there, I'm like, I'm going to eat a salad for lunch. or I rush through part of the routine, right? All right, I'm grateful for this and that, and I'm done, and I kind of get going. But it really being continually committed to creating a routine for yourself in the morning really sets you to succeed. And one thing I didn't mention, but I need to go back to this because I cannot tell you how much it sets you up for success. I make my bed every morning. I make my bed every morning.
Yeah.
It brings me joy. When I walk into the bedroom at night or throughout the day, because I do work from home and my bed is made, I'm like, oh, feels peaceful. And you're creating an environment that brings you that peace.
That is absolutely awesome. I really like you said you make your bed every morning, because I believe I looked at a YouTube video sometime last year about this. And, you know, one of the takeaways I got from that video was if your bed is made first thing in the morning, when you come out from your work, like when you're working outside, and you give an example of working inside, you know, and you may have a very stressful day, you can just relax and roll into your bed and just recenter yourself. And you don't have to think, oh my goodness, you know, I can't get in there. You can, because it's so well made already. And it's a great way to recenter yourself out of the workplace and, you know, and be present with one's family, right? We all know that music changes our physiology, our mood. What's your last song on repeat?
Funny you should say that. I love music. Music is such an important part of my life. And one of the best gifts I got is from my husband. I got a HomePod, an Apple HomePod, so I can randomly tell it to play different things. But my song that typically is on repeat, I have a playlist called Serotonin.
Oh, nice.
And it just kind of gives you pep in your step. But the one song that I tend to go to a lot is by Tina Turner, Simply the Best. And that is what I consider my theme song every once in a while when I need a pick me up. And I play it and I sing it and I remind myself, you know what? Today, I am going to be simply the best version of myself that I can be. And things may not be going my way, or I may be scared about something, or things didn't go my way a certain way, but I'm simply the best. And I think that, you know, a lot of people may say, oh, that's so obnoxious. You know, you're so full of yourself. No, I'm advocating for myself. Just, you got to be the best version and advocate for yourself. And if you don't love yourself, it's difficult for others to love you. Because you're in this negative space of, you know, we look in the mirror and we think, oh, I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not that, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. But live in the moment. Because when we're stressing out about what we haven't done or haven't become, then we rob today of the beauty that it's available to us.
Wow, I love that you said live in the moment, presence. That is such an important, you know, way for us to be, right? Instead of thinking about past state, You know, we focus on present state and we look a little bit to the future with a positive outlook. You know, Julie, I could go on and on talking to you today. We've talked about so much. We talked about your background. We talked about, you know, contract negotiation, organization, culture, you know, the how to choose between corporate and entrepreneurship, you know. We talked about so much. And if there's one key takeaway you want my listeners to have on our about our conversation today, what would it be?
I would say is piggybacking on what I said is live in the moment, live in your own skin, and be proud of who you are and who you were created to be, whether, you know, whatever your beliefs are. Be proud to be you, and because there is no other you that's going to live in this world, but be the person who you were created to do so many different things, whether it be to love your kids or to represent a company or to build or innovate something. Be you and be proud of who you are and do it now.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Julie.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I hope that your listeners really find a nugget that can inspire them and help them. And, you know, my personal life quote is go confidently in the direction of your dreams. And I hope that they find out what their dreams are and move forward confidently. And if you're not sure how to be confident, find the people around you that, and borrow the belief from the people around you.
Awesome. That's Julie DeLuca Collins.
Thank you. Such a pleasure. Thank you again for having me. I've just enjoyed this conversation so much.
You're welcome. Listeners, I'm preparing this fantastic community for you, a community where we can gather, collide, share our ideas, and support each other. I have a lot of plans for you. You are simply going to enjoy the Live with Irenia community. It's coming soon. I will be sharing more in future episodes. Hang on to your seats because we are going to have so much fun. Listeners, I hope you thoroughly enjoyed this conversation because I sure did. I just have one ask of you. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast, head on over to your favorite player of choice and subscribe. If you find a golden nugget in the episode, share it with a friend. Don't let this knowledge stay with you. We want to spread this knowledge all over the world to empower others to take action in their life and career journey. I just want to say thank you for stopping by on this dial, and I hope that you find your new vibe.